All right, last time, I'm not going to do much of a recap from last time, but last time we was in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, is that right? Yeah, moving along, and we were talking about what horse? We were talking about what horse? The red horse before the black one. That's close, you're right, we was getting there. That's why I want to make sure we got another one in there. But yeah, we were talking about the black one, but we're talking about the red one first. So that's my recap, and I'm going to talk about that. So let's go to Revelation chapter 6, and that's going to bring us to where? Verse number 3. And when he had opened, nope, where you at? And that was pretty good, man. How'd you do that? And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. Remember, it means to go. To go. He's talking not to John. John's already there. So he sees it. He's telling it to go. So verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red. Again, it's not fire engine red as we would suspect. It's flaming fire. So you know fire isn't just red. It's multiple colors and on and on. But it was flaming red. And power, everybody say power, was given to him, or authority was given to him. Remember, the devil doesn't have any authority on his own. Zero. Everything he has is given to him by God, because he is the God of the universe. He is God, Jehovah, the Creator. And so the devil has what is given to him in limitedness. He's limited in his power, his scope, and his reach. The problem that the church has is they make the devil bigger than God. Old preacher used to say all the time, he said, you can have a big devil and a little God, or a big God and a little devil. How do you live? I live with a big God. All right. And so to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Again, we're not going to go over the totality of this, but it meant national tranquility. So it wasn't just peace individually, it was also national tranquility. If you look across the landscape of the nations of the world, there are very few places that have peace. In fact, there is no utopia on the world. Let me try that again. There's no utopia on the planet, in the world. Everywhere has problems. How do I know that? Because wherever there's a human, there's a problem. Thank you very much. And they that should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. I want you to remember great sword tonight, because we're going to revisit that thought. So what is that talking about? He had this authority in scope. He had this ability in scope, this beast system, if you will, to take the peace that the white horse gave. Is that right? Absolutely. I'm leading into tonight's teaching. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, we stop right there. So we're getting into the third seal. So the white horse brings in the deception. That's the Antichrist system. That's that beast system. And we know that these horses and horsemen have been running and galloping and doing their thing for decades, for a very long time. And so we know these seals have been open, because we've watched it take place in our history, in which I'll go into more detail tonight about history and some things that will absolutely blow you away that maybe you didn't know or had forgotten from school or what have you, and put these statistics together. But this red horse, he comes in with this sword. Again, that influence, not only just global war or regional war, but hatred among one another. Yep, hatred among one another. That's why we're seeing so many killings in our country and around the world, is men have taken that peace away. Peace has gone away. The enemy has taken the peace as well. And men just, they don't tolerate anymore each other. It's an amazing thing. You know, when I read these road rage stories, I'm like, really? Because you didn't use a blinker? Or because you got in front of somebody else? Come on, does that? I don't know if that bothers you. It absolutely bothers me that it's an issue of something so small. But this is what it's talking about. So as we lead up into this horse and horsemen, you have to see the progress that each horse, each horseman, each person, if you will, of the Antichrist system, the whole thing, it is bringing a progression of destruction. In other words, things aren't progressing to better, it's progressing worse. And that's one of the problems we have with trying to reach people in the church, is because they have this hope so feel good promise in their mind that we're all just going to hold hands and it's going to be great. Right? Yes, it is. People feel that way. How about "We Are the World"? We are the world. Come on, Flo, help me. You know, "We are the children." Sarah knows it. You know, come on, somebody. And kumbaya. And I just wish we could just get, if we all just stand and hold hands and hum. You know, we could do something worldwide. No, you can't. No, you can't. You probably get a cramp or something. You can't. Why? Because it's been written. Now, I'm not against doing great things. I'm not against praying and all that stuff. Pray, man, and be an activist, if you will, against the sins and the ills of society. But it's not going to change anything concerning the eternity of it all and what's going to happen in the coming days. The souls of men, that's what matters. So I'm building this up because this black horse, he comes in the wake of what has been happening. He comes in during this progress of prophecy. And again, it doesn't get any better. So let's look at it. You ready? "And he opened the third seal, and I heard the third beast say, 'Go.'" It's come and see, but it's go. "And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands." So you're watching again, all of these things happen with the other horses. You're seeing this progress of prophecy. Things are not getting better, they're getting worse, and it's by design. Now you see this black horse is on the scene, and he has a pair of balances. Now these scales, which is the better translation, these scales deal with economic judgment. Economic judgment. You want to write that down. Economic judgment. I touched just very little on this last week because we had to go. Economic judgment. Now, a lot of people, especially in America, we don't believe that our economy can fall. It has fallen, and it will fall again. It has to. The whole system has to crash in order for the beast system to come into full play. Well, the black horse is a part of that fall. The black horse is a part of that fall. And so it is representing to us this absolute economic judgment. Also remember, the black horse represents death and famine. It's not a pink unicorn. Come on, somebody. It's not a pink unicorn or a 25-cent horsey over at Deals or wherever, you know, shopping mall somewhere. This is a very ominous black horse, and again, it represents death and famine, and it has those scales of judgment, economic judgment. Now, I took you to Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, but I won't take you back again because I'm going to be hitting on it later on in this teaching. Okay? So watch this. Go to verse 6. "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say," and we know that voice is Jesus, "a measure of wheat for a penny, and the measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine." Has it ever troubled you, that scripture? It has me growing up, even in my beginning days of learning theology and just trying to understand the Bible. That really, really bothered me, not understanding the totality of it. So I'm going to share some of that information with you tonight. And some of you that you may never heard it, but it's good teaching for you. So when we talk about famine, the Bible speaks of this word famine. It's not just talking about no food at all. It's talking about there being little food, not enough food. And sometimes that's worse on people in the population of having no food, because little food means there's fights, there's wars, there's theft, there's gangs, there's all types of competition in order to get this food into their hands. If you don't believe that, then you've never been to a starving country before, or you've never been to a feeding program before overseas. I've been in situations where we've had to feed people and have to have security and have people outside just bringing order because people are hungry. And some think the one in front of them is getting more than the one behind them. And it gets very confusing and very chaotic. Okay, you've seen it on television, or maybe you've been a part of missions as well. So you need to know that. But it's not only this type of famine where there's a lack of food, it's also due to the economy. It's economic calamity. Economic calamity, okay? So you got to think this in your mind. The earth is still suffering. Watch this with me. The earth is still suffering, seals 1 and 2. And then all of a sudden here comes 3. See, these horses just don't ride and go away. They ride and they ride and they ride through the time periods that they have been released, and they continue to gain speed and they continue to do their work and wreak their havoc. That's why, again, you look at the news and you see things, you're just like, why isn't it getting any better? We elected a new person. We elected that person a long time ago. We changed this law. We did this and that. We made more gun laws. Oh my. Why isn't it getting any better? It's not because of what's happening on the earth by design, part of the end times and part of judgment. Does that make sense? That ought to help a lot of people who scratch their heads and just say, I don't understand this mess. I don't get this, man. I just don't get it. This is the reason why. Now, that is not to throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, well, the end is here. It's over. Forget it. I can't save anybody. I can't help my family. That's not what this is. It's just helping us realize the hour that we're living in and not to waste our time trying to be some political giant that isn't going to change anything really in the long haul. The totality of things. In other words, if I know the deal, I can know how to focus. How many of y'all love going to a job and they don't tell you what to do? All right, work this machine and see at 5. What? You know, nobody likes that, to be thrown into a job and not know what to do. So there's economic calamity that's taking place because of the deaths, because of the wars, because of all these things. And so if you look across the picture of our history, the world has made some tremendous mistakes. We've done some tremendous things concerning debt and social programs. We've done all these different things through war, and it's causing us today to reap what our forefathers sowed. And as we continue to make bad decisions and put debt and all these different things, our children's children are going to reap the wickedness of our bad decisions. Somebody in here say amen. And that is the progression of prophecy because we haven't followed the word of God. So this black horse now starts to gallop, and he starts to show himself a little stronger in our current day. Remember, when seal 1 and 2 happen, there's no real recovery. There's no real recovery. No matter how many years ago certain events I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about, it doesn't make a difference. There's no real recovery, and there will be no real recovery. So watch this. False peace brings false prosperity. We talked about that, remember? Hyperinflation, superinflation, those types of things. All of us know that go to the store, we're seeing inflation right now. We're not at the point to where it is, where I'm going to fix it to show you here, but it's not good. There's people that can't afford things, and that's why they have to put stimulus money out there. They know the economy's in trouble, even though they put a smiley face on everything. Is that right? All you need to do is go to the person on the street or the person on your job, and that's where you get the information about what's really happening, not the feds, not somebody at the Department of Treasury. Okay? So we talked about that taking place and how there's that progression. So let's look a little deeper. He said, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see if thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Bring that table up here for me, if you would. Open up that bag. And I want to talk to you about, just give you a little bit of a demonstration of what this is speaking of. So just bring the whole thing up. And here's what I want you to see. The word measure. The word measure. In the Greek, it's 55:18. 55:18. Okay? And that word, you take that out of the bag, is okay. Yeah. Just don't eat none of it. You've already ate, didn't you? All right. Okay? The Greek is 55:18. It means a dry measure. Okay? So when it talks about that right here, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It's 1 quart of wheat for a penny, or a denarius, which was a penny. Okay, that was a Roman silver type of coin, but it was the principal silver coin that was used by the Roman Empire. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 20, and it's verse 2 to 13. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I want you just to see so you can get a backdrop, and then we're going to talk about all this in just a minute, okay? This is the parable of the laborers. Remember the laborers in the vineyard? We could paraphrase some of it. We're just going to go ahead. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Go ahead. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing and idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? Come on, let's go to work. And they said to him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. Now go to verse 13. Skip ahead. But he answered one of them and said, friend, do I do thee no wrong? Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Didn't you agree with me for a penny? So the penny represented what? A day's wage. Okay? Is everybody with me on that? Now you have to ask the question, why did they separate the wheat and the barley? The reason for that in this particular chapter here, in this verse of Revelation chapter 6, is because the wheat was the better and more costly than the barley. In fact, the barley was the food for slaves and for animals. It was their feed. The wheat was the better choice. Okay, so that's why the measurements are different. Okay, so Jesus is giving us, this is Jesus explaining to us. And this is what's coming to you and coming to me and coming to America and coming to the world in its time, with the black horse riding. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. All we can do is prepare the best that we can. But Jennifer and I were talking before service, there's absolutely no way mathematically to prepare your family for the time of tribulation with food. We did a servings analysis, and it is absolutely impossible. You don't have enough storage space. None of us. So what does that mean? We need faith in God. That means we need faith in God. That means we need to open the mouth of a fish in Lake Hartwell and find us a coin. That means Mel and Quena. Mel and Quena. You ever heard that? Mel and Quena is manna and quail. It's mixed together. I like that. Manna and quail. We have to believe God for that. There's been people who've prophesied and had visions, you know, where they went to the dinner table and there was no food until they sat down and opened up the pot of food, and there it was. There was the pot full of food. We've seen it with the children of Israel. We've heard it with those in the Holocaust. On and on the stories go. Is God still in the miracle working business? Yeah, man, absolutely. He's not going to leave us and never going to forsake us. But if you were to try to do this on your own, it's going to be impossible. Why am I telling you that? Because of how severe this famine is going to be and this economic disaster and judgment that's coming on the world. Again, the Americans don't want to hear that, Because we're so used to going down to the ATM, or we're so used to getting money and selling things and what have you, that we don't believe that the pot will ever run dry. But it will run dry, at least in this manner, because God, the Lord Jesus, spoke it, and it's going to come to pass. Okay? So we know by that particular parable that he's speaking of this wheat costing an entire day's wages, and then three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. We know it's speaking of an entire wage. Okay? So I brought this stuff out here just to kind of show you something, give you a little illustrated sermon, and just kind of get it in your mindset. Now, I did a little bit of research, and you might find this a little different as far as salaries, but the U.S. average wage, which I thought was pretty high, was $19.33, or about $20 an hour in the United States, the average. I'd like to find out where they're working at. That's a pretty good job, isn't it? But that's according to this one research thing. So you might find something a little different. So let's just use $20 if we can. If I worked 8 hours a day, how much is that? That's $160 per day. It's not a bad day. Some of y'all make that in an hour. I know that. If you do, you need to start giving, all right? So 1 quart of fine wheat and 3 quarts of barley would cost you $160. So let's do this little illustration. Can we do that? I mean, I got some cash here. Don't tell my wife I got cash. This is $160. This would be considered a one day's wages. No, you can't borrow any. It's for illustrated only. It's Monopoly money. No, it's not. This is $160. So this is representing my day's wages. This is an illustration of what I would get out of that day. Think about that for a second. That's exactly what that translates to us. Right now, this costs $2. $2. Maybe $1.50. If you get the fancy stuff like Flo, it's $4.50. But if you're like, I'm just kidding. She's like me. We go down to the clearance place. But if you just get normal bread, it could be about $2. So look at the difference. A little loaf of bread, $160, and then $2. See, we're not there yet. So when we cry and we complain about prices, we're not there yet. Now, I don't want to pay $3 right now for bread, but I don't want to pay $160 for bread. Right. Are you with me? Right. And so that's what's happening in this particular scripture. And then you deal with this here, which is your quart. I put some rice in here, and I use that little marker. I don't know if they can see it online there, but that's a quart. So I'm going to take $160 to get this. Now watch this now. That's coming. And then we sit there and we think as Americans, we got it made in the shade and we can just slide and glide and everything's going to be fine. No, we have to have faith in God. And then think about the world. This is a good amount of food for the world right now. There's nations today that would bum rush us to pull this out of my hand and grab that loaf of bread just to take it back to their families. And I'm going to show you all that here in a minute. But think about that. That's a lot of money. Now, you all got money to burn. That's a lot of money to me. Is that a lot of money to you? And just think about this. This ain't my daily bread. So I'm going to get into more of that in just a minute. That ain't my daily bread. By the time I went ahead, I'm going to get all my money back. I know how you church people are. By the time, especially if there's a preacher in the house. Let me put that in the vault right now. All right. My wife's watching intently where that money went. I mean, you think about it, just by the time I went ahead and had a couple slices, you know, it's not going to last me long. Listen, this is just a small illustration. We're not talking about feeding the rest of the family. Right. In my house, there's five. There's five of us together. So by the time we all had a piece of toast together, we well passed a half a loaf. We got to have lunch. You know what I mean? So we got to have lunch, and that's how many pieces of bread are for. By the time you did the math, there ain't nothing left. Is anybody here? It's all gone. It is absolutely gone. And so you look at this and you say, how in the world can anybody survive? Well, that's what's coming on the earth. It's going to be a time of great perilous times, never seen before. Never seen before. I never seen something like that before. To work a whole day to get a loaf of bread, to work a whole day and to get a quart of something like that, it's going to be a very, very difficult time. So when you look at life today, you ain't got it that bad. Wish I had somebody just nod me like this, nod me, give me a nod. You ain't got it that bad, but it's going to be that bad. So what should I do beforehand? This is just a side commercial, is I need to prepare, number one, my faith, and number two, the best I can. Save and prepare and prep all the things we've been teaching you. I know it's not going to get you all the way through, but your faith is going to get you through. Do you see that? And so that's a pretty amazing illustration. Every time I think about that, it absolutely blows me away. In biblical times, this was a man's daily substance or his daily bread, what I just showed you. That's what he got. When he went to work, he got paid in food. Most of them got paid in food. But if they didn't, they got that coin. And they took the coin and they went and bought food. Now, we're not even talking about your milk yet. He ain't even mentioned your milk. He hasn't even mentioned you need gasoline. How about the rent? How about electric? You know, there's so much into this. Even if this was symbolic in the sense of the totality of life would take you an entire day just to survive, either way you look at it, which I believe it's more literal, it is still absolutely mind-blowing of how bad this is going to be. It is going to be beyond our imaginations. And I'm telling you, the people that are going to be worse affected are those that have lived high cotton and have lived like you know, it's 1999 and I ain't got nothing to worry about, and they don't prepare. The Bible's full of illustrations of people who are fools who don't prepare. You're a foolish person if you don't prepare. Good job, Pastor. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, so watch this. Matthew 6:11, you don't have to go there, but it says, given to us our daily bread. All right? He gives us our daily bread. So think for that moment. What I just showed you there, what we just explained to you, that people will be, you know, working an entire day just to get the loaf of bread. But then again, who's going to pay the rest of the bills? Who's going to cover the rest of the costs? How are we going to do this? You're going to have faith in God. And now you can see why people are going to be killing one another. And now you can see where nations are going to rise up against nations, and we're going to have wars. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about hunger, if we can. We'll talk about hunger, and then we'll get to the other part of this scripture. According to the UN the Hunger Report, hunger is a term that is used to define periods when populations are experiencing severe food insecurity, meaning that they go for entire days without eating due to the lack of money, the lack of access to food, or other resources. Again, that is strange to us, even though we do have hunger in America. We do have young children that are hungry. They're not at the point of starvation, but according to this definition, it is somebody that they don't have access to food or other resources. Okay? Here's some widely accepted definitions and key terms for hunger. Hunger is a distress associated with the lack of food. We know that. The threshold for food deprivation or undernourishment is fewer than 1,800 calories per day. Okay? That's a person who's undernourished. 1,800 calories per day, less than that. Some of us do that in one setting. Somebody please smile, grin, move your fangs so I can see the other, your lips. Come on now. Some of us are with a bowl of Haagen-Dazs, man. Tear that thing up. Come on. It's the truth. All right? Under nutrition goes beyond calories to signify deficiencies in energy, protein and essential vitamins and minerals. Again, it's not just being hungry, it's the body deteriorating itself because it's malnutrition. The Bible said it's, listen to this, the Bible says it's better to fall on the sword than to pine away with hunger. Let me say that again. The Bible says it's better to fall on a sword than for the person to pine away with hunger. Pine away means to die from within because you're hungry. That's what God says about it. Okay? Listen to this. Around the world. Now, this is statistics for now. I'm giving you statistics now for telling you what's riding on the earth. This is happening now, but what's coming is going to be beyond what I'm reading to you. Are you? I'm trying to bridge the gap of this reality today and for the future that's coming. Okay, that's the only reason why I'm doing this. Around the world, there's enough food, more than enough food, produced to feed the global population. But as many as 811 million people still go hungry. Based on that definition I gave you. They don't have access to proper nutrition. They don't have access to proper calories. They're malnutritioned. 811 million. Why don't we just say 1 billion people? That's beyond the pale. That's beyond imagination. Okay, but that's happening right now. That's not when the writer starts picking up steam. That's happening right now. After steadily declining for a decade, world hunger is on the rise, affecting 9.9% of the people globally. From 2019 to 2020, the number of undernourished people grew as many as 161 million. In 1 year, listen to the statistics, 1 year, it grew 161 million. A crisis driven largely by conflict, climate change in their mindset, of course, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Okay? So that means the black horse is moving. Yes. Things are happening. It's increasing. As many as 811 million people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. Conflicts is the cause and the consequence of hunger. In 2020, conflict was the primary driver of hunger for 99.1 million people in 23 countries. The white horse bringing false peace, the red flaming horse bringing war, taking that peace away. The black horse represents the consequences of those things. The black horse is on the move. An estimated 14 million children under the age of 5 worldwide suffer from severe acute malnutrition, also known as severe wasting. Do you hear what I said? 14 million children under the age of 5 are wasting away. It's better to fall upon a sword than to pine away. Only 25% of acutely malnutrition children have access to life-saving treatment. So out of that 14 million, only 25% can find help. If that doesn't bug you, if that doesn't make you want to cut back your meals and give to missions or do something for somebody that's homeless or something to help out somebody that's hungry, I don't know where your heart is. That absolutely tears me apart when I think about how much stuff and food I have. And so what am I doing about it? We're giving. We're giving. We want to help be a part of that answer. You say, well, the horse is riding. Yeah, he's riding, but he doesn't have to kill everybody. He doesn't. There's somebody we can save, isn't there? Absolutely. You saw the video about Nigeria and what we're trying to do there. Okay? So that's just a few things on that. And I'm going to give you more in just a second. But let's go now to this part here. See thou hurt not the oil in the wine. So that's always been troubling for me. So we got past the understanding it's going to cost a day's wages. It's an economic calamity. It's an absolute disaster. You can go back to the early 30s, 1930s or so, and a little beyond that, and you can look what happened in Germany, where they were taking wheelbarrows full of money to buy a loaf of bread. It's happened in history. It happened in the siege of Jerusalem, where they were actually eating the dung of donkeys before they went to eating their own children. These things has happened in history. This is not fantasy or fairy tale or something to scare anybody. History will repeat itself. It's humanity. And when humanity's in trouble, humanity does things that's inhumane. But this is going to be worse because it is the hand of God in judgment. But anyways, three views of the hurt, not the oil or the wine. Let me give you three views. Number one, one view says that the wealthy will not be touched by this particular horse, that they, these things, the oil and wine, are considered luxuries. That is one view. That is not a view that I have, but it is a view. Another view is crops will be so poor that God instructs his horsemen and this system to not touch them. That's a possible view. That's a possible view. In other words, it's an act of mercy. You're going to have to deal with these things, but these two things you're not going to be able to touch. Okay? The third view, and this is my view that I feel more strongly, is that Jesus has given these horsemen limitations of what they can do to the food production of the world. He gave them limitations. Remember, power was given unto them. That means it was a gift or something on loan, and that means they did not have the originating authority to do it. Therefore, they don't have total authority of their actions. When it's given to you, that means that I have the power to take it from you. Is that right? If I gave you permission to go in my house, I can throw you out too. Somebody say amen to that. Or borrow my car. I'm going to yank you out of it. And you could do the same to me. All right? So I believe that. So thus far, the white horse and the red horse, they were limited. So I believe that in that analogy and in that example of looking back at the white horse, the red horse, and now the black horse, every one of them had limitations. And so I think that's the better view. At the end of the day, we'll find out what it will be in totality. But one thing's for sure, as another thought, the oil and the wine are used for cooking. Oil and wine is used for cooking worldwide. It's an essential thing. So you could see God's mercy on the other hand saying you can't touch this, you have limitations because they need this to still produce. They still need this to survive. One Bible commentator says that they're not allowed to touch it because these two things don't need cultivation. It's not a produce or like a crop. That's just a view that he had. Okay? If all were destroyed, then how would it be used as manipulation and a weapon? That was the other question that I put out there. I said, if everything was destroyed, then how could the beast system use it as a weapon? Food is a weapon. Food is a weapon. If you've never been, again, to a foreign country, dictators all around the world, they've used food as a weapon. And that's what's going to happen in these last days. That's where I'm getting ahead of myself, but the mark of the beast is going to be such a powerful thing. And that's why what's going on today is not the mark of the beast, is because food will be part of that manipulation. The ability to do commerce, the ability to buy and sell, all those things. Food is a weapon. Any woman in here that can cook, you know food is a blessing. Come on, somebody. Food will make me dig a ditch. Food will make me dig a ditch at 94 degree weather so I can get that biscuit. Is anybody here? So it is a weapon. Remember, these things I'm teaching you and telling you, these are all before the mark of the beast. These are all before the mark of the beast. And so what tremendous perilous times are going to take place in the world. Now go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. 24, verse 7. I want to make this parallel. I told you there would be a parallel and an overlay from Matthew 24 to Revelation. And so let's look at that again. In fact, some scriptures will speak to the same, to one or more scriptures. For nation shall rise against nation. Is that right? So what do we see in these horses? We see false peace. Then we see war. We see people. Ethnic groups against ethnic groups, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Famines, S, pestilence, plural, is that right? Earthquakes, plural, in diverse places, plural. So it's a continuation, okay, not just one time, one century, one event. It's continuous, and it all crescendos. It all progresses into the day of the Lord. It's almost like a teapot. A teapot's not ready till it blows its top, or the steam comes out, or it starts to whistle. You know, it's reached 212. It's boiling, and it's time to have some tea and some crumpets, if you have it. Milk and lemon, whatever you put in it. you know it's ready. And so this is what Jesus was giving us an example of. Now, let me give you some statistics. I think I have a little bit of time. I'm not going to be able to go into the next horse. But listen to this. Some of these numbers that I'm going to read to you historically, they're really staggering, because I just gave you factual numbers of recent years and what's taking place right now. The 811 million people, just to say 1 billion people that are on the earth, that are undernourished, that are at the point of starvation. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me about that. In the 1850s, a Chinese false messiah, Hong Shunwan, he told everybody he was a prophet. He told everybody he was a messiah. And what he did there was he got the Chinese people to fight one another. And for 15 years, they had a tremendous battle against each other, like a type of civil war. But listen to this. 20 to 30 million people are thought to have died just from famine and from epidemic and disease that came from that war. So put that in your mind, write it down somewhere on your piece of paper, and we'll do some math, if you will. So it's an estimated 20 to 30 million people had died. Now, again, that doesn't seem logical in our minds. You know what I mean? You know, one person's a tragedy. What is it Lenin said? And then a million is a statistic. I mean, that's talk of a mad person. But it seems that's the way we get when we talk about these numbers. So think about this black horse, okay? Joseph Stalin, he went to war against the farmers of the Soviet Union in 1929. And what he wanted to do was to destroy that class of farmers. He didn't want that type of class inside of his society. So he fought against them. This is Joseph Stalin. Okay? Listen to this result. As a result of that, 5 to 8 million people died of famine. Well, hello, if you fight your own farmers, don't you think that's shooting your foot? Duh. I mean, unless he's going to get out there and plow. Okay? So that's 5 to 8 million people. Okay? Mao Zedong, listen to this. Mao Zedong, we just watched China Cry, by the way. Thank you, Linda, for the video. We watched China Cry. And, you know, from 1958 to 1960, he did something that was very foolish. And what he did was he tried to change society, and he tried to go to war with his own people by making them labor through the populace and get the favor of the Soviet Union by giving them the food, the harvest. So in other words, he made the populace work in the fields, and farmers, they worked, and then they exported their food to the Soviet Union in order to get the Soviet Union to give them industrial help. It was an exchange, but it was absolutely the wrong thing to do. Listen to this. You say, why is that? Listen to these numbers that I'm going to give to you. It brought about the death of around 38 million people through starvation and overwork. It was the greatest loss of death through famine in Chinese, at least in Chinese history, and it could have been worldwide as far as historically. This particular event that he foolishly did, 38 million people. That's quite a lot of people dying so far. I don't have the total number right now in front of me, but I think it's pretty high, wouldn't you say? So famine is not is not a lack of food. Watch this. I'm just trying to build all this for you so you can just leave here tonight understanding what is coming, understanding how to do the best you can to prepare. And probably the best thing I want to leave with you is to have compassion for those who don't have. And try not to be wasteful if you possibly can. And to be givers to those who are less fortunate. But it's not just food. You ready for this? And this is something that clicked in my brain. It just lit a fire in me because I didn't see the total picture. Famine is not just about food. Famine is about water. Famine is about water. A child dies from hunger. Hunger-related causes, which deals with water, which deals with food. A child dies from those things every 6 seconds in the world. 6 seconds. Think about that. You have 60 seconds. Is that in a minute? Is that right? So you do the math of how many children will die because of starvation. It's mind-blowing. And I'm not trying to put this heavy load on you and make you crawl out of here. And those watching, I hope you're feeling what I'm feeling in my spirit. I grieve because, you know, is there something I can do, you can do, we can do to stop that? I know the black horse is going to ride in a greater way, but can you just think for a minute what's happening and then what's going to happen? It's going to be beyond our comprehension. We are going to be crying out to God. And if we're not crying out to God now after the statistics I just read to you, I don't believe our heart's right. 6 seconds, every 6 seconds. Listen to this. Fresh water, this will blow your mind. Fresh water is currently under threat for almost 80% of the world's population. 80% of the world has a fresh water threat. In other words, it could be taken from them through disease, through natural disasters, through conflicts, regional state boundary lines they do over in Africa. They try to change lines and erase national sovereignty, and they take land masses and water reservoirs and all those different things happening in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is working on building a dam. I don't know if it's finished yet, to actually take water from the Nile, which I've been on the Nile. It's a huge, huge, huge river, but takes water from Egypt. So just imagine that. So there could be conflict over there over that. Listen to this. 97% of the earth's water is salt. 97% of all the water in our world is salt. That gives us only 3% water. Now again, Americans, this is hard because we go in there, we turn on the faucet, and we brush our teeth while the water is going. I live on a well. I don't do that. Come on, well people. I go, come on. If I ever leak in my sink, I grab a bucket because I'm going to take that water out to the garden. Come on, country folk. But there's folks that sit there in the shower, like Barb. Barb being there. She's a Detroit girl. She got all that water. No, we do that, don't we? Why? Because we think on the other end of that spigot, it's never going to end. Is that right? Okay, so get that mentality, you know, with me and understand what I'm trying to tell you. So 3% fresh water, only 1/3 of it is accessible to the rest of the world. So 3% water that's available, only 1/3 of it is accessible. You know where the rest of it is? It's in ice and glaciers. That's the rest of the water. So 97% is salt, 3% is fresh, but 1/3 of it is accessible only. The rest is in ice and glaciers. Now, you can sit there and do all that math and figure it out. That ain't a lot of water. But again, our mindset, there is a lot of water. But what happens in these judgments is that God begins to turn off the spigot. He allows these horsemen and these hordes of hell, if you will, to wreak havoc on man. So man will either cry out to God or curse him. It's going to be either or. But this is right now, though. this is right now. And we take such advantage of these things in our lives. Now, before you think I'm an earth hugger and a tree hugger and a rock kisser and all that, I'm none of those things. But I am a person that believes that we ought to be modest and try to save and definitely try to help people. Watch this. This will blow you away. I'm going to get out of here. Water consumption, agriculture, is the number one consumer of water at 70% use. Agriculture takes 70% of the water use of that little bit I just told you that was available. 70%. And the three major violators, if you will, I don't care how you use it, or users, is China, India, and America, because we are the three largest populations and we're the three biggest wheat eaters in grain products. Somebody say Cheerios, okay? General Mills, whatever. All right? And they love their staple over there in their countries. This is unsustainable. It's unsustainable. Okay? This type of production. Here's something else that blew me away. I did not know this. Industrial meat process. Industrial meat process. And the whole production has far more water use than for grain production. In other words, to process meat, it takes more water to process it than it would for wheat and the grains. I was blown away by that. I love meat, and I'm not telling you to be a vegetarian. I'm just telling you it's mind-boggling. And so what's happening? As population grows, production grows. When population and production grows, then you lose the natural God-given elements of creation to in order to feed and to drink and to do those things. All of that is part of the design of the decay and the finalization of mankind. It's not climate control, Al Gore, and climate change and all these different things that is out there. It is the fact that the black horse is riding on the planet today. Well, I hope some of that helps you out. A little bit of illustrated sermon just there, the teaching there to give you a little glimpse of what's to come. You say, what do we do about it now, Pastor? Well, again, build our faith, be prepared for what's going to happen the best we possibly can, and at the same time, reaching those who are in our now, reaching those children that are dying around the world for a lack of something we take advantage of. Father, thank you for the message tonight, the teaching. I pray that it just leaves an indelible mark in our heart, not to hide and to, you know, wait for it all to come down, but to be faithful now and to reach and to see people touched by your grace. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.